This is an iHeart podcast.
It's time to focus, or I should say refocus. We're going to do that tonight. Who is the real enemy? Dave Rubin joins us. We have a latest update on the speaker race. All that and so much more is coming up on I'm Right. Hello. It's time to focus. Let me clarify. It's time to refocus. You have to refocus. I have to refocus. Why? Well, what's been on all of our mind for at least a week now? Horrible terrorist attack, Hamas attacks, kidnapping women and kids, and death and destruction, and Israel's counterattacking, and it's the news story out there right now, right? Everything is about that. But I want you to imagine something. I want you to picture this scenario. You decide you're going to move in with me. Times are hard. We're going to be roomies. We're going to get an apartment together. And you move in with me in our apartment. Don't worry, it's separate bedrooms. Don't make it weird. You move in with me, and you start to get the impression that I hate you. And then it goes from just an impression to I flat out tell you all the time, I hate you. And then it actually gets worse than that. We're living together, and it's not just that I hate you, I tell you all the time, I think you're the reason we have any problems at all, and it would be so much better if you just were gone. And then I take it even further. I start to tell you, you know, you frankly deserve to be hurt for what you believe. You deserve locked up, shoot, assaulted, punched. You deserve to be killed for what you believe. Scary situation, right? Imagine that. Imagine living with someone like that. And I'm telling you this over and over and over again. You suck. You're evil. You suck. You should go to prison. You're evil. You deserve to be killed. I'll kill you. Don't make me hurt you. I'll kill you. And then one day, we hear this massive explosion. And we look out the window of our apartment and we see that 100 miles away, there's a big explosion. And we find out that an enemy army has landed and they're marching towards us. Now, is that explosion in enemy army a big deal? Is it really important? There's no question. Should you focus on that at least a little bit, or at least figure out what's going on? Obviously. But for you in that apartment with me, who wants to kill you, is that the biggest problem? The enemy army, 100 miles away? Is that your biggest problem at the moment? Or do you have bigger fish to fry? And I said all this because I feel like we are losing a little bit of focus here on the most dangerous thing happening for you and me. It's not Hamas. Oh, Hamas is dangerous. And yes, Hamas and Hezbollah and those evil terrorist scumbags definitely can kill. There's no question. There's no question it's a dangerous situation going on. This thing could spark into some big world war. There's no question. I'm not dismissing the evil or the danger of that. But you and me have bigger fish to fry right here at home. We have domestic political enemies who want to hurt us. They have announced this over and over and over again. They believe you should be hurt for what you believe, for what you think, for your freedoms. You say what you want, you think what you want, your guns, the traditional values. Ugh. They have announced that overtly, and sometimes they're a little more subtle about it, but they do it over and over and over and over again. And now, because of some gigantic conflict, Israel, Hamas, Gaza, everyone's just supposed to take their eyes off of the guy we're living with who wants to hurt us. Joe Biden was asked about those Islamic extremists in Gaza who rape, murder women and kids. And when Joe Biden was asked about it, keep in mind, extremist is a word he's used for you many, many times. Here's how he described them. Let me know if any of these words sound familiar.
Would you support Israeli occupation of Gaza at this point?
I think it'd be a big mistake. Look, what happened in Gaza, in my view,
is Hamas and the extreme elements of Hamas don't represent all the Palestinian people. And I think that it would be a mistake to for Israel to occupy Gaza again. But to going in and taking out the extremists, the Hezbollah is up north, but Hamas down south is a necessary requirement.
The extremists. Joe Biden, he saw the same video you saw, same video I saw. Dead women, kids, awful stuff, you know, horrible stuff, war, horrible stuff. And you know what Joe Biden thought? He thought those people were extremists, which is very interesting, because I just brought it up. I remember him calling another group of people extremists.
Donald Trump and the MAGA Republicans represent an extremism that threatens the very foundations of our republic.
Sound familiar? Any of that stuff? You see, the president of the United States of America, he thinks you're the enemy. He feels the exact same way about you and uses the exact same language describing you as he does Hamas. Federal Bureau of Investigation, they have just come up with a special category for Trump supporters in 2024. Did you know that? Well, it's a big article out last week in Newsweek. Do you know about that? The FBI has a special category for you. Right next to those Islamic jihadists is you and your MAGA hat. Did you know that? Did you hear what Hillary Clinton had to say?
And sadly, so many of those extremists, those MAGA extremists, take their marching orders from Donald Trump. And when do they break with him? You know, because at some point, you know, maybe there needs to be a formal deprogramming of the cult members.
Extremists. Deprogramming. I'm supposed to be very, very distracted right now. And you're going to have to forgive me if I'm not distracted by other things going on, because Michael Hayden, the former head of the CIA, just openly opined on social media about the death, murder, assassination, whatever you want to call it, of a United States Senator, a Republican, Tommy Tuberville, who has displeased him. This is not some crazy 18-year-old college student who just got out of sociology class. This is the man who headed up the largest and most powerful spy agency in the world. Now do you see what I'm talking about the man who's living with you and how we had better focus because we have major problems? You might remember that letter, by the way, speaking of the CIA, that letter that was put out by all these intelligence agency bigwigs after Hunter Biden's laptop came out. Hunter Biden's laptop comes out. They're scrambling. They wanted to call it Russian disinformation. So what do? They go track down a bunch of former intelligence heads who will sign on and say, yeah, definitely Russian disinformation. But well, now we know beyond a shadow of a doubt, it was Hunter Biden's laptop. This is all verified. Hunter Biden's a felon. This had nothing to do with Russia, everything to do with Hunter Biden. So they tracked down another former CIA director, Leon Panetta, who signed that letter. And they asked him if he regretted having that position of power, having his position in our society, former CIA director, and lying to the American people. Here's how sorry he is about it.
And I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you about that letter you signed on to from former intelligence officials saying that the laptop and the emails had all the classic earmarks of a Russian information operation. You don't have any regrets about doing what you did?
No, I don't have any regrets about not trusting the Russians.
Not a regret in the world. You see, the enemy is here. I saw somebody, I was talking to a Jewish friend of mine over the weekend, and we were talking about what's going on and people we know and the war and plans and Hamas and Hezbollah. We were talking about all kinds of things. And at one point in time, he said something to me that I had to correct him on. And I understand why he said it, because he's very emotional right now. But what he said to me was, if a bunch of Americans were killed, if America was invaded and a bunch of Americans were killed and kidnapped, you wouldn't hear anything about the civilian casualties America was putting on the country as they went and got them back. And I said, look, buddy, I know you're hurting right now, but let me stop you right there. And let me stop every American right there. Every single American. If 20 Chinese divisions landed on the shores of California tomorrow and began raping and pillaging their way eastward towards Washington, D.C., half of the American left would cheer them on. The other half would join their army. We have gigantic domestic problems, domestic enemies that have reached the highest positions of power in our society. It's not that world affairs don't matter. They do. It's not that atrocities and things like that shouldn't tug at our hearts. They should. But we had better focus about the murderer who lives next door, frankly, with us. All that may have made you uncomfortable, but I am right. And we will discuss this and many other things with Dave Rubin next. These same evil people, they're in charge of our food supply. Did you know that? Oh, I take that back. That was probably the bad way to put it. Not in charge of our food supply, in charge of our food supply, and they've announced many, many times their intention to destroy the food supply. Do you need me to play you those John Kerry videos? Blaming farming, agriculture for the warming of the planet, blaming cow farts and whatnot. Do you have an emergency food supply for the dislocations that will undoubtedly come one day to our food? Or are you gonna starve to death? My Patriot Supply has emergency 3-month food kits, $200 off. You have to go to preparewithjessekelly.com to get that deal though. Preparewithjessekelly.com gets you an emergency 3-month food kit, $200 off. Buy it, stash it, please don't touch it. This is for an emergency. And don't tell anyone about it either. Keep this just to yourself, all right? Trust me on that. Preparewithjessekelly.com. We'll be back.
In this heightened environment, there's no question we're seeing an increase in reported threats, and we've got to be on the lookout, especially for lone actors who may take inspiration from recent events to commit violence of their own.
Wow. That sounds pretty serious. Man, and let's think for a minute. Here on the American soil, how many of these jihadis have, how many Americans have been killed on American soil by jihadis in just the last month? Well, none. Not that they're not a threat, none, but how many Americans have been killed by the FBI, right-wingers, in the last month, last couple months? Huh, more than that. Joining me now, my friend Dave Rubin, host of the Rubin Report. Dave, I don't want to dismiss the threat of radical Islamic terrorism. Obviously, it's very real, and obviously, it's here. I do find it interesting that I'm being warned about it from the organization that has declared war on me and my values for years now.
It's so psychotic. I mean, I feel like we're in a horrific sci-fi movie. The simulation is real, and we're in the middle of it right now. Does Christopher Wray know who the president of the United States is, who's in charge of the border that has been wide open? It's his boss. It's been wide open. You've played the videos. I've played the videos. People just wandering through, border guards opening doors for people. Then they occasionally close the door, wait a few minutes, come on in. We have no idea who these freaking people are. And, Jesse, the really scary part of this is we are now learning that Hamas had this plan on what they did to Israel for about 2 years in the making. Well, Biden's been president for over 2 years, so we've had, in essence, an open border for over 2 years. Do you think it's possible that perhaps they also sent some people to Mexico to get in our borders? So now Christopher Wray, because they probably realize, they probably have some level of intel going, oh man, we might have really screwed this thing up. It wasn't just Mexican migrants who wanted to pick oranges. It might be some bad dudes. Now he's going, well, if you see something, say something. Of course, if you see something, you just say something, then they'll call you racist if you're wrong. So the whole thing, on top of what you're pointing out about how they've basically turned the agencies against the good people of America, yeah, it's just nuts.
Dave, all right, let's talk about Israel, Hamas, Hezbollah at the moment. Obviously, it's a gigantic mess. And if you can say anything positive about this disaster, which is really hard to say, it's that at least some Americans appear to be waking up about how much of a problem we have here domestically with people who are not friends of yours and mine, Dave.
The only silver lining you can come up with so far is that watching, you know, if you've seen even The View, I mean, how often is it that I can say something pleasant about The View? But even on The View, these wackadoodle leftists who are wrong about everything, I'm talking about Joy Behar and Anna Navarro and Alyssa Farah, who pretends to be a conservative, but she's a leftist too, they actually are waking up. So, you know, one of the things they always say, you know, a conservative is just a liberal who's mugged by reality. I think that's what's happening right now. I think a lot of the people who ushered in this crazy leftism, you know, boys or girls, America's fundamentally and foundational principles are racist, all of that stuff. They're finally seeing the end result of what they have wrought upon us. And the end result is that you would have literally raped women and butchered babies and a lot of things that are just too unspeakable to even get into, really. But people should witness them because it's so horrific and we have to know what's going on. That finally, this has pushed some of the wacky leftists back, let's say, towards the center a little bit. Now, I have no doubt that most of them will fail one way or another when it gets too hot in the kitchen. But if this is a chance for those of us who are fighting for freedom and decency to welcome some of these people back to planet Earth, we got to try. But the apology ain't coming. Yeah, Jesse, don't hang for an apology because it ain't coming.
I'm not holding out for one of those. Why didn't you fail? You used to be over there and you woke up, but you... They're going to fail. I have no doubt you're right about that. You didn't. Why?
You know, I don't know. I truly don't know the answer to that, other than when I was waking up from leftism, I started chatting with a whole bunch of people, but it wasn't just chatting with them on my show. So, you know, I had Larry Elder on who woke me up on certain race things. I talked to Ben Shapiro. I talked to Glenn Beck. I talked to Jordan Peterson, you know, all of these guys. But it wasn't just the ideas. It was that they could explain their ideas in a very calm manner. And even if I had some differences, there was a mutual respect. But I will tell you, I think it was one thing that I can pinpoint more than just the policies. It's that I found and have consistently found conservative-leaning people are generally nicer. They are kinder. They are more open, believe it or not. You know, liberals pride themselves on openness. You could be so open, your brain will fall out of your head. But it's conservatives, actually, who are more live and let live, who go, oh, you think that? That's okay. I can still break bread with you. So for whatever differences I have had with some of these guys, when I've debated the death penalty with Dennis Prager, or when I've debated abortion with Ben Shapiro, now I've come closer to their positions on those things over the years, but when I would do those things, I would then have dinner with them or spend a year on tour with Jordan Peterson. And I found, wow, these guys, they're generous of spirit, they're kind. And where is that grace on the other side? And by the way, Jesse, Anna Navarro and Alyssa Farah, and by the way, Whoopi and Joy, the more they go to sanity, the more hate they are going to get from the people that they taught how to hate. I mean, that's the irony here. But and again, that's why we have to show a little grace as it's happening. I played the clips of them today, and I was really trying to be like, okay, you guys see a little something now, so I want to be kid gloves with that, because you want to get those people. And you know, in America, there aren't many people who could vote either way anymore, right? We got the hardcore right, we got the hardcore left. One constituency that could break, and I think it you can see it happening to some degree, is the sane liberal who used to be the JFK liberal of the 60s. You know, the true liberal, they still exist. They've just been cowed into silence. They might have a moment right now. I certainly hope so.
Dave, Scott Pelley of 60 Minutes, who's an idiot, but he sat down with Joe Biden, and there was a lot pretty revealing about the whole thing. Maybe the most revealing and scariest part was this little tidbit.
As we spoke to the president, his Secretary of State was in Israel. His defense secretary was at a NATO meeting on Ukraine. America's oldest president seemed tired from directing all of this.
He does seem tired, Dave, and that's kind of a big deal with world affairs being as they are. Look, I'm not here to say we're going into World War III tomorrow. That's ridiculous and dramatic, but you could see how world affairs could get us there really quickly, and the president of the United States of America poops his pants in front of the Pope.
No. Right. I think that literally happened, right? He also fell up the stairs again earlier in the week. Like, I mean, it's a real problem. Look, we know it's a problem. They know it's a problem, but they are just trying to drag the guy over the finish line because the Democrat Party, the bench is so, there's another time he fell up this. I mean, most people fall down the stairs. I kind of admire the guy for always falling up the stairs. But the real issue here is that they have a very thin bench. They're pushing this guy. But Jesse, think about it this way. In the business that we're in, and we're both, I'm 47. I think I'm a little older than you, if I'm not mistaken. How old are you?
Much older. I'm 42. Much older, Dave.
You're older at 42. I don't know how, you're taller. I know that much. But the point is, you know, doing this for a living and having to churn through the news every day and all that, sometimes it's the end of the day and you're fried, you're beat. It's emotional, it's tough. And I'm not comparing, there are people that do way more tough things than us, our military, our police, blah, blah, blah. But the way I would relate that to somebody like Biden, the guy's clearly not at the top of his game, basically at 80 years old. He's, I'd say, about 75% degraded from where he once was. This is a huge problem. And if anyone, and the thing is, nobody believes he's in charge. I don't know who's in charge, but there is nobody that thinks that this guy is in charge. And when the world seems to be going to hell in a handbasket, that does seem like, as the kids would say, problematic.
Yeah, extremely problematic. All right, Dave, I can't let you go without this Judge Chutkan ruling from today. Judge Chutkan rules that Trump can't say anything in regards to the January 6th case about, you know, the judges and the lawyers and things like that. Basically, Trump isn't allowed to do what Trump does, goes on social media and gives it to whoever he doesn't like both barrels. And the thing I took from this the most, Dave, was how shocked people are by this ruling. Are people actually under the impression that you can beat the DOJ? It doesn't matter what you view Trump as. You're not beating the DOJ. He's in very, very deep trouble, and people aren't accepting this. They're not going to let him win.
I know. It's a really weird thing where the base, even, it's just like they're like getting a kick out of it. They're, you know, it's like, oh, look what they did to him again. Ha ha. But the thing is, this thing continues. All these trials continue. The indictments continue. Look, I have been very critical of Trump over the last couple of months. Obviously, I'm here in Florida. I'm a DeSantis guy. I very proudly voted for Trump last time. And if he's the nominee, I absolutely will vote for him and all of those things. But I have no problem, even though right now he's not my guy in the primary, I have no problem 100% defending him when it comes to all of these indictments. It's probably true that Trump did some silly things regarding with classified documents and some of the other stuff. Like, we know he's not the cleanest when it comes to all of this stuff. And I don't excuse those things, but the selective enforcement of these things, we know that Joe Biden as VP had classified documents next to the car in the garage. And as VP, you're not allowed to declassify. Trump at least was president. So it's the selective nature of all of this stuff that's the problem. But you're actually making a much deeper point, I think, which is that for the MAGA crew, that every time something happens, you know, they kind of like it because it ignites them. It's like, you got to be careful, because I don't know what they're supposed to do exactly, but you got to be careful because he doesn't seem to be getting out of this. It just keeps coming down the road a little bit further.
Yeah, it does. Dave, appreciate you, brother. We'll talk soon.
Good seeing you, man.
Now, it's you and I talk. Obviously, the evils of the justice system are more and more apparent every day. I mean, we just talked about that ruling today. You, a normal American who carries a weapon, you have to be aware that you may very well find yourself a target of the justice system. What if you have to use that weapon in self-defense? You sure everything's going to be okay? No, you can't be sure. You need an attorney. An attorney who specializes in this stuff, and you need one on retainer. You don't need that scam concealed carry insurance. Get an attorney. Well, Jesse, I'm not made of money. No, no, no. That's where attorneys on retainer come in. They're for normal people like you, like me. What is it? You go sign up. They'll never drop you like the insurance companies will if they don't like the shoot. You have an attorney 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Go to attorneysonretainer.us, promo code Jesse, all right? Attorneysonretainer.us, promo code Jesse. We'll be back. You ready to smile about something? We're going to do a little smorgasbord. There's a bunch of topics I want to get to on tonight's show, but you know we just flipped the governorship of Louisiana, right? Soundly. Jeff Landry, Louisiana, Republican now. And maybe you're sitting there saying, Jesse, I don't live in Louisiana. Jesse, I don't care. No, listen to me. This is how we're going to win. In the end, we must win at a local and state level, because right now, where we currently sit, we cannot possibly win at a federal level. It's all evil, it's all commie, it's all gross, it's all gone. But that's fine. We will begin where the communists began decades ago, locally, statewide. We need people, everyone, not you, I'm not worried about you, you're already involved, but we need Normie Norm and Normie Norma to start getting involved at a local level, a state level. And if people are angry enough about what's going on nationally, that they're going to start focusing more locally, that's a win for us. There are a million political battles you will fight for the rest of your life. There's so much more than the 2024 presidential election, I promise you. So when we get these wins, put a smile on your face. That's a good win. And look, there's more going on right now, obviously. Everyone's focusing on the speakership, understandably. It was going to be this guy, and then it's going to be that guy. Now, obviously, Jim Jordan's going to come out of it, and all that stuff's fine. Yes, all that stuff's fine. But why didn't I ever stress the speakership? Why was I never stressed when we kicked one out? Why was I never stressed about getting a new one? Well, because what needs to happen is a gigantic emergency meeting to slash spending. And I don't believe under any circumstances that meeting can happen, will happen in Washington, D.C. It's not something that's going to happen. I want you to remember something. Remember Senator Rand Paul came on last week, and we talk about this all the time, but do you remember when he was talking about our fiscal situation? Our fiscal situation is this. The money's all gone. Every single dime the government steals from us in a year, every dime they take in, goes now to the entitlements, the big ones, Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, welfare checks. That takes up every penny. That means everything else is borrowed money. Money we are borrowing and printing, and we're paying interest on it with interest rates rising. I know this is so difficult for people to hear and for people to picture, but there is no money left. It's gone. Every single pet project you want, every cause you want the government to get involved and support, everything will involve borrowing money with interest. Does that change your thinking on doing this or doing that? And again, another reason I wasn't stressed about the speakership is these people in Washington, like Janet Yellen, they sit down, and the way they talk, it's as if the money is unlimited, and of course, we're doing fine. We have money. Oh, no, war. Pfft, oh, we're fine.
Can America, can the West afford another war at this time?
I think the answer is absolutely. America can certainly afford to stand with Israel and to support Israel's military needs. And we also can and must support Ukraine in its struggle against Russia. And look, the American economy is doing extremely well.
It's like they occupy a completely different planet. And to be fair, they do. Because Janet Yellen's filthy rich, and when it all comes crashing down, she'll be fine. While you struggle, she'll be doing just fine. But we have all the money in the world for Ukraine, Israel, anything. And look, maybe you're sitting there right now, and maybe you're passionate about one or both of those conflicts, especially the Israel one. It's stirring in people's hearts, understandably so. Maybe you're sitting there saying, no, we need to do this, and we need to do that, and we need to send every carrier group, and we need to do this, and we need to do that. Okay. But there's something you must burn in your head, no matter what. We don't have the money for it. We will borrow the money for it. And now maybe because these are emotional times, maybe there's a project you have that you, and a good one, you know, to secure the border. Jesse, we have to do this. Okay, well, here's the situation. We are a family. We have blown through our budget. We've spent every dime. We have racked up the credit cards. They're all maxed out. Now we have to borrow money for everything. And so now the family car breaks down. And you come to me and say, in a panic, and you say, Jesse, no. We have to fix the car. Jesse, you don't understand. We have to fix the car. We need the car. And I won't argue with that. Yes, we have to fix the car. We need the car. But that doesn't put the money in the bank account. You see, there are many things we have to do we now can't afford to do. And the leaders, like Janet Yellen, still have their feet hammered on the gas. They're not backing off any of their commie plans at all.
We are not attempting to decouple from China. We have a deep economic relationship, and that kind of competition, trade and investment, mm-hmm. is beneficial to both sides, and we want an environment in which it can continue. And third, we need to cooperate on a variety of global challenges, and I would say climate change is an obvious example.
Oh, we're not going to decouple from China. We can't slow down on anything. Why? Climate change. These people occupy a world that is not real at all. The money's gone, and normal people are already starting to feel it. They're starting to suffer. I know you feel it all the time. I know you watch this video of a dude in a grocery store, and you're going to watch it, and you're going to say the same thing I said. Oh, yeah, I know.
I'm walking around Costco here, and I'm noticing these prices. For example, these Madras lentils, $15.99. I bought those a year ago for $6.99. I keep getting told that we got, you know, 6-7% inflation. You got to be kidding me. Let's look at what else we got going on here. We literally bought this chicken broth, $5.69, 2 months ago. Dang, this is the flour we were buying for $5.99 last year.
Yeah, but everything's just fine. Well, it is for them. Everything's just fine. Meanwhile, we're being smashed. Just remember, we borrowed money for this. That saying needs to be burned into your brain, and you need to say it over and over and over again, no matter what the federal government does, whether you like it, whether you hate it. Whenever you see them do anything, that should be the first thing that comes to mind. We borrowed money for this. That's pretty sobering, isn't it? All right, let's talk about crime in a moment, because the You Voted for This campaign, it's deeper than that. Well, we'll get to that in a moment. Before we get to that, let's get to this. Let's talk about nutrition. Let's talk about if you were to tell somebody how they could live longer, what would be one of the main things you would tell them? You'd tell them to get nutrition, right? Proper nutrition. Every living being needs it. You need it. Every the vitamins, minerals, you need these things. Your dog is a living being too. Your dog needs nutrition. And I know you're saying to yourself, well, yeah, Jesse, I already realized that. Yeah, but we don't give our dogs nutrition. We don't. We give our dogs dog food. But dog food is dead. It's brown because they killed everything in it. Dog food is dead food. There is no nutrition in dog food. You must give your dog rough greens to give your dog a longer life and a healthier life. So what is it? It's a nutritional supplement, all natural. You pour it on your dog's food. Dogs love it. Whether you have a puppy or an old dog, you will watch a difference in your dog, his energy, his breath, his coat, his digestive problems. Go to roughgreens.com/Jesse. That gets you a free Jumpstart trial bag, free. Or call them. 833-33-MY-DOG. We'll be back. Well, I know you didn't see because everyone seems to be quite distracted right now, but President of the United States of America had to put out a public statement wishing a very happy birthday to the dear departed St. George Floyd. And of course, while he said goodbye, He also called for your disarmament, which is interesting because it was actually the response to the death of George Floyd that caused so many Americans to go buy guns. Interesting little racket we have going on right now. Joining me now, Vince Everett Ellison. He is the author of the new book, Crime Inc. What a name. And it's not about the mafia, even though it's mafia-like tactics. Vince, what are you talking about, Crime Inc.? Who's Crime Inc.?
Oh, Jesse, thanks for having me. I'm going to tell your viewers something a little bit about me. I was born on a cotton plantation in Haywood County, Tennessee. My father was a sharecropper. And the most violent Ku Klux Klan faction in America was in Tennessee. And the Grand Wizard lived in Brownsville, where I grew up. So I know about the Democrat Party because the Ku Klux Klan was their military wing, as you know. And they've tried to kill me and chase me my whole life. And I've known they were a criminal organization. My father aspired and brought us out of poverty in the insurance industry. And I started working at a prison after college. And I saw that we had not overcome. And when I asked the black intelligentsia why all these young black men were being locked up, they said, oh, evil, rich, white Republicans hate black people. So I went down to the ghetto and started a nonprofit. And when I got there, I saw something very interesting. I saw no evil, rich, white Republicans anywhere. You see a leprechaun or a unicorn before you saw one. But what I did see were a lot of black Democrats making a lot of money off the chaos. And my first book was about them. I called them the Iron Triangle. Most black preachers, most black politicians, and most black civil rights workers. And they were conduits for the rich white liberals and they lived in Manhattan and in LA, and for the poor blacks that they needed them to vote for. So this Iron Triangle made black people vote for the Democratic Party by hook or by crook. I mean, they bribe them, intimidate them, ballot harvesting, polls to the polls, you name it, they did it. And that was my first book. And Book Authority gave it, like, in the top 100 of one of the best political books of all time. Then I wrote 25 Lies, 25 of the Democratic Party, most damnable, seductive lies. And then I've written Crime, Inc. So your viewers can go to VinceEEllison.com. That's VinceEEllison.com, and they can view all of my books. But Crime, Inc. explains how the Democratic Party is not just an evil institution. It's a criminal group. It's a criminal organization. They're no longer a cabal of ignorant, violent racists like they used to be before the 60s. Now the Marxists have jumped from the Civil Rights Movement, and they've jumped into the Democratic Party, and they took it over in 1972. And they've turned it into the most sophisticated crime organization in the world. They make their money from hits, just like the mafia. Planned Parenthood kills babies for a living. The Democratic Party gave them over $500 million last year to kill people. And then they make money from killing people, and they give money to the Democratic Party. They groom children at an early age, just like the mafia and the triads and the Crips and Bloods. Same thing, except they use the public educational system to do it. They traffic across the border. They and the cartels work hand in glove. They won't steal the border because they make money from the K Street lawyers that the cartels give money to, and these K Street lawyers then give the Democratic Party campaign contributions. This is how Crime Inc. is working. It tells the American people how the Democratic Party is a criminal organization, how they humiliate black people, how they demoralize people, how they beat people down, how they're an evil institution, a cabal of murderers, liars, psychopaths, and anti-Christian bigots, and why we got to run them out in 2024.
How can you explain this Marxist takeover of the civil rights movement? Because you're 1,000% right on this, and a lot of people don't realize that at all. They think, whenever you mention civil rights movement, for most Americans, they're thinking Martin Luther King Jr. and just fighting right for equality, and obviously those things took place, but they don't realize that those dirty freaking Soviets got involved in that. They saw an opportunity, and they dug in, and they really, really thrived in spreading Marxism in America through the civil rights movement.
Yes, they did. Yeah, the first chapter of my book explains how, like the mafia and the triads and MS-13, today's Democratic Party has a foreign influence. It started over in a foreign country, started in the Soviet Union, actually. So just like the mafia started in Italy, the MS-13 is from South America, the triads are from Asia. Today's Democratic Party is straight out of Moscow. I show how after the Montgomery bus boycott, Martin Luther King Jr. was actually recruited by Bayard Rustin, who was a communist, and he introduced him to Stanley Levinson, who was the number one communist in America. And Stanley Levinson bankrolled the whole civil rights movement and the SELC from Moscow. Matter of fact, he and Clarence Jones, two communists, wrote the I Have a Dream speech. In the I Have a Dream speech, Martin Luther King Jr. said something that I heard 1,000 times, but this time I heard it in 2018. I heard this I Have a Dream speech, and I heard him say something that really rocked my world. He said, 100 years after the Emancipation Proclamation, the Negro is still not free. That was a lie. I was born free. My freedom is a gift from God. Thomas Jefferson said in the Declaration of Independence that we were born free, that our freedoms transcend the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence and law. It's a God-given thing to us. Martin Luther King Jr. said that it comes from government. That I Have a Dream speech turned the Declaration of Independence on his head. Five times in that speech, he said, we were not free. And in the refrain of it, at the end of it, he said, on some certain day, we'll be free at last, thank God Almighty, we're free at last. And we teach our children that speech, that we are not free here in America, when that is an absolute lie, because according to our Declaration of Independence, we were born free. Our freedom is irrevocable, non-transferable, and unsellable. So these guys in the Civil Rights Movement then jumped from the Civil Rights Movement to the Democrat Party in 1972. They took it over, and the Democrat Party became a Marxist organization ever since then.
Yes, it did. Vince, I want people to go get this book, Crime Inc., so you can truly understand what's going on. There is an organization behind all this chaos. It's not just random. Yes, Vince, thank you, sir. I appreciate you.
It's my pleasure. Go to my website, VinceEllison.com. Get Crime Inc.
All right. We're going to lighten the mood next. Before we lighten the mood, let's do this. Do you want to get busted with gold bars under your bed? No, of course you don't. You're not Bob Menendez. Bob Menendez is a moron for a variety of reasons, but one of the biggest reasons was you don't have to swindle gold bars from Egypt. You can just own gold and silver coins. Perfectly legal, and you should. It's the greatest hedge against what's the against what the government's doing right now. Buy things you can touch and feel. Value that transcends nations, that transcends time. If I handed you a sack of gold and sent you 1,000 years in the past, you'd be rich. If I sent you 1,000 years in the future, you'd be rich. So why doesn't everybody have some gold or silver in their hands? Oxford Gold Group is where you do that. Oxford Gold will get it in your retirement. They'll get it in your hands. All you have to do is go to jessekellygold.com. jessekellygold.com. They'll take care of you. They make it easy, but do get a hold of them soon. All right? We'll be back. All right. That was a lot. It's time to lighten the mood. You ever been to a chiropractor? I have. You see, I'm tall. Did you know how tall I am? It doesn't come across on the TV. I'm 6'8". I'm really, really tall. That's why my hands are all big like this. I'm really tall. Because I grew so fast when I was little, I had to go to a chiropractor every now and then. My spine was expanding too quickly. I know it sucked. And one thing, couple things I learned going to a chiropractor is, one, you never walk in, and as you're walking out, they tell you, hey, all's fixed. Don't need to see you again. We got things taken care of. You never, ever hear that from the chiropractor. And two, you're in store for a pretty uncomfortable experience when you walk in, which is why for this Light the Mood, we saw this video. And I got to tell you, I laughed hysterically. Here's the true chiropractor experience.
All right, deep breath in and... All right, I'm going to get the back joints. And deep breath. Okay, deep breath and the spine. Deep breaths and the ribs. Okay, deep breath. This is for the jawline.
Deep breath in, deep breath in.
It's the car. It's the car one that murdered me. I'll see you tomorrow.
This is an iHeart podcast.